Live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar, inside Treasure Island, it's Cofield and Company.
Yeah, I think I did that right. I think that's how Cofield does it, just says, yeah. He usually, I think, does it in a random time during the song. We actually tried to hit the note there. The Rebecca Black song means it is Friday, which means Cofield and Company is down at the TI, a Hill and His Homies edition of the program. Come on down, Golden Circle. You can come down and join us each Friday, but really anytime. It's a great spot to hang out, watch games. Got the sports book, the food, the drink. It's fantastic down here. TVs everywhere with tons of sports action. We have sports again. The Olympics are over. I love the Olympics, but we are back into normal sports settings, and this is your spot all the time down here at the TI to check it out. Mentioned it was a Hill and His Homies edition. Greg Salerno in with us today. How you doing, sir?
Pretty good. I'm pretty excited, man. I haven't eaten today, and I'm waiting for that chicken salad sandwich here. So,
I keep hearing about this.
So good.
Okay, I mean, I'm going to take your word for it. It's a weird thing with me. I might have to try it because chicken salad was one of my favorite foods growing up.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things I realized growing up that I don't actually like most chicken salad. I like the way my mom made chicken salad.
Right, right, yeah.
Which was catered specifically to what I like.
Yeah. It's a very delicate thing. It really is.
But if it's good, and I've heard from you and several other people that it's fantastic here.
It is.
I love the wings here. I like to order those. The fingers, great. Everything's great down here. But if you're getting this, I will check it out and see what it looks like. What mine is, and I think I've talked about this on the show, my favorite food in the world is black olives.
Oh.
It's my number one favorite food.
Yeah.
So my mom basically just made, like, chicken and black olives out.
Was it just mayonnaise, chicken, and black olives?
I don't usually like mayonnaise, but with that combination, it kind of worked out well.
You don't like mayonnaise?
Not really.
Wow.
Not really.
That's one of my favorite things in the world.
Mayonnaise or, like, a Miracle Whip, though? Which one?
Oh, no, I can't do the Miracle Whip. It has to be mayonnaise. Yeah.
They look the same to me.
I mean, they look the same. One tastes very tangy and weird, and the other one's mayonnaise.
Okay, fair enough. Sounds like we know which side you're on this debate. But, yes, I have heard great things about the chicken salad, so hopefully you get it. Hopefully you all come down here, hang out. We got some UNLV football tickets down here.
Yeah.
If you want to come down and say hello. Got a couple tickets here. First two people to come down, get a pair of tickets to UNLV football. UNLV just on the horizon coming up in just a couple of weeks. They open up at Houston. I'll actually be down there in Houston. Check that out. I hear the humidity right now is brutal, so I look forward to that.
Yeah.
That should be fun. Got the indoor pool at the hotel, though.
I'll just be chilling there then.
I don't think I'm going to leave that area.
Yeah. No, you don't want to, man. Plus, humidity brings bugs, and I hate bugs. I'm, like, terrified of bugs. And I've been in Texas at a gas station at night where there was, like, bugs the size of a cell phone just crawling all over the place, and it just freaked me out. So I get scared.
Was it the Buc-ee's? Is that the gas station that you were at?
I don't remember, to be honest, but that sounds familiar.
It's like
the
world's largest gas station.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about. I don't know if it was that one or not.
It's one of the places that was on our list. We're trying to decide what to do in Houston. So there's a giant gas station. I guess it's a chain. There's several of them.
Yeah, no, I was actually – this is when in Amarillo, where they have, like, the I-40 just goes through
and
there.
And the steak. Okay.
Yeah, so that's where I was.
I've actually told this story in the air, but I'll tell it again. And, yes, we are going to get into some other things, including – the fact that the NFL season's over, unfortunately, sadly.
Man, that's sad.
Sadly for everybody I know we're excited for, but it's over. But I was doing a cross-country drive as a college freshman with my at the time, long-term girlfriend. We were driving cross-country. We stopped in Amarillo. We went to dinner. There was the most giant bug I've ever seen in my life, as you're referencing.
Yes.
We freaked out. Because I do not handle bugs well.
Me neither.
Obviously did not either. We freaked out. The waitress came over, brought the manager, and they said, and the response was, "Oh, y'all ain't from around here, are you?"
Yeah. I'm glad I'm not.
I was
not,
like,
then.
"What? No."
Yeah.
I don't think that's a local thing. But apparently it is.
That's terrible. I'm telling you. Like, I thought they were so big. I thought they were just there randomly. It was actually a carjacking. They stole my car.
Yeah,
they actually took
fair.
My car. Yeah,
that makes sense. That adds up. But yeah, those are freaky. Guess what? None here.
None
here at the TI.
No, it's no great. Bugs. Great and, chicken salad. No bugs.
And outside too. And everywhere I go, I'm traveling with bug spray all the time now. Always. Not just from the Amarillo thing. It's just you just forget living here.
Yeah.
How we're so spoiled.
I know. I go anywhere and I get freaked out. I even went to, like, L.A. and it felt humid to me, and there was mosquitoes, and I was freaking out because I hadn't seen a mosquito in so long.
Yeah, I was just in Puerto Vallarta a couple weeks ago.
Oh, man, that's nice, though.
Is it?
I mean, bugs, no.
No, I mean, I had a lot of issues with the city. But
did you really?
It's for another time. First and last. I'm a big Cabo and Cancun guy. I did hear that Puerto Vallarta in the summer is not the time to go.
Why?
It's way too hot. Nobody's there.
Oh,
things
okay.
are closed early. It's usually like a late night town. It wasn't great. I'll stick with Cabo and Cancun in the future.
Interesting.
Huh. But the NFL season's coming up. That's what's important. I know everybody's very fired about that. We'll talk about the Raiders and Cowboys a lot to get into later on in the program. They're playing tomorrow. Raiders actually just made a transaction about an hour ago, so we'll get into that. Wasn't a very meaningful one necessarily, but certainly, you know, one that I just finished writing a story about, so we can talk about that as the show progresses. But I was sad to find out just a couple of hours ago that the NFL season that I'm so excited for is over.
It's very sad. What happened?
So they do this every year, but Yahoo did the yearly simulate the entire season on Madden.
Oh.
And then so we found out what's exactly going to happen.
Wow. Does the Eagles win it all then, I'm assuming?
They don't.
Damn.
They don't even make the Super Bowl.
What? Oh, I don't like this at all. What happens?
Do people even want to know? Because it's going to ruin the entire year for
it's
you.
It's kind of a
it?
Spoiler, but I mean, you know, we have the information. You got to give it out.
Well, the 49ers are back in the Super Bowl.
Wow.
And they lose again.
Oh, my goodness. To who?
Baltimore Ravens. Crushed
this
them.
Is the repeat of a Super Bowl from a few years ago.
It is. But now it's not Harbaugh against Harbaugh anymore. It's just one Harbaugh.
Yeah.
So I'm sure a lot of people here are not happy. 35-14 final score in the Super Bowl. But also, I think a big surprise, in addition to Dak Prescott winning MVP without a contract, by the way, going into a contract season.
Yeah.
Winning the MVP. That'd be big.
Yeah.
Carolina Panthers. 13-4.
Wow. Wow.
Now, I've been hyping the Panthers to bet the over.
Yeah.
Because I think they're going to win more than, you know, five games. I think they'll probably win six or seven. 13 would be pretty aggressive.
You know, I actually have them beating the Raiders on their first home game, and people have – we're getting all over me.
By the way, that's one of only two games the Raiders are favored in this year.
Is that true?
What are you trying to do? The Raiders,
well,
Raiders are favored in exactly two games this season.
I have a very outside take on this where I believe the Raiders are going to start out pretty good, but they're going to be 3-1, and the one loss is going to be against the Panthers because they're going to be on a high from the first two games, lose their home opener, and then get their crap together and beat the Browns.
So you think they're going into both SoFi and M&T Bank Stadium in Baltimore?
Yeah, I think they're going to go in, win the first two. I think everybody's going to be completely over their, you know, heels. They're going to be so excited about the Raiders, blah, blah, this and that, rah, rah. Then they're going to go in and lose to the Panthers. Everybody's going to completely, you know, toss them aside, and then they're going to come back and beat the Browns. I know it's a weird take, but I feel it for some reason.
Well, I'll say this. So in addition to – they did two simulations on Yahoo, so I'm just giving you some of the highlights of each of them. There was one thing, and this could be good for Raiders fans, maybe. Only one thing was the same between both simulations.
What was that?
Max Crosby, Defensive Player of the Year.
Hey! Dude.
In both simulations.
You would actually be able to tell better than me. Did you notice that they had to, like, not let him rush? I heard there was a story that they had to like take him out because he was making the off. He was completely destroying the practices.
Yeah, that blew up. it's one of those things that there's definitely times where they have taken him out and said, "Hey, chill.
Right.
We're trying to work on this thing right now." And one of the things, and people know this from Max Crosby in the past, you know, Max Crosby, people forget, single-handedly ruined the Pro Bowl.
Right.
Because a couple of years ago, you know, everybody in the Pro Bowl would go like 10%. Max Crosby would go like 60%.
Yeah.
And just he would get like a sack every time. And people were like, hey, he said, hey, I'm not going 100%. Yeah, you're not, but you're going way harder than everybody else. And that's what he does all the time. And there's times in practice where, hey, we're going to work on this run play to the left. No, he's not participating in that. He just runs over all the blockers that are trying to go half speed.
Right.
Destroys them. And it's like, okay, Max, like, settle down. And now he obviously ruins plays when they're going full speed too. I'm just
sure
there's just times where there's no such thing as like we're not going 100% on this rep with Max Crosby.
Yeah.
And Antonio Pierce kind of talked about that the other day. He said, look, our offense looked better in the preseason game because Max Crosby ruins our reps in offense. And sometimes we just take him off the field and say, hey, we got to work on this. Get off the field. And then it just got blown. We were all sitting in the meeting room yesterday because we had heard Antonio Pierce say this.
Right.
And then we saw this tweet go viral, just crazy.
Yeah.
With Max Crosby destroying practices. Like, all right, there's some context to this. Which it is, and it's fair. Look, Max Crosby, even when they're trying to go 100%, he's 130%, and
right.
he ruins everyone.
It's
and that's the level he's playing at, for sure. But I think that it was taken a little bit too far
yeah.
in terms of how people blew up about that tweet that came out. So a lot to get into with the Raiders, for sure, including Max Crosby and the fight, I guess you can call it, yesterday, that we saw take place out on the field. He was certainly involved in that because Max is involved in literally everything. He's, I think there's six of him that practice every day.
Right.
He's all over the field. So that was interesting. We'll get into a little bit of that with Mark McMillan here in a little bit. Break down what we're watching. And I want you to think about this, Greg, as we continue on this program. What do we want to see in this game tomorrow for the Raiders? They're going to play a lot of guys, a lot of time in this game, probably well into the second half with a lot of the starters, except for one, which we'll get into as well. There are going to be a lot of guys on the field. What do we want to see? Obviously the quarterback battle, for sure. No question about it. That's what people want to focus on. That's what they'll talk about. That's what they want to see going into potentially an announcement on Sunday of who the starting quarterback is. But there's other positions, too. There's a couple of battles that are still kind of going on between some of the positions. Most of them are settled, but certainly at the bottom of the roster, there's some depth spots up for grabs. There's some rookies that are trying to make the team, that sort of thing. What do you want to see? We'll get into that in the 5 o'clock hour. Plenty more to get to between now and then, though. We got Mark McMillan coming up in just a few minutes. Get to UNLV and the Raiders. He's been out of practice a little bit. What did he see? Vince Sapienza, who is jumping into the radio world. It's not that easy. We'll have to get into that with him. TV guy trying to do radio. All these guys think they know what they can do and think they can do this all the time. It's just so easy to do radio. Patrick Berbert from down here at the TI is going to join us a little bit to talk about the numbers, the odds, some of the things that are posted up here to bet at the Treasure Island. And maybe one of the dumbest rules ideas I've ever seen. We'll get to that as we continue. Mark McMillan up next, though, as we roll on from the Treasure Island, the TI, the Golden Circle. We're here each and every Friday, Cofield and Company.
Former NFL cornerback and Next Level Chef contestant, Mark McMillan, joins Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
It is Cofield and Company down here at the TI, Golden Circle. Each and every Friday, Hill and His Homies edition, Adam Hill, Greg Salerno here at the TI, and we are joined by another homie, Mark McMillan, on the program, former NFL superstar, celebrity chef, just about everything this guy does, nothing he can't do. Mark, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, man. You know, I've been thinking about you, man. I got a roast in the crock pot. We talked about cooking.
Yeah, we're going to get into this because we have some football to talk about for sure, but I don't think I've ever seen anybody as disappointed in anyone as you were the other day when we were informing you just how unskilled I am at anything having to do with the kitchen. I can do nothing, literally nothing. Can't make a thing. And you were like, what about this? No, can't do it. I can't do anything. You were embarrassed for me, and I felt bad.
Yeah, I was embarrassed for you, man. And today I was like, okay, I do my Football Friday segment. Let me try to give him something. I sent out a little tweet of my little searing of the roast and the cast iron skillet. Maybe that'll just inspire you a little bit. But man, I was really taken back. Like you really could. You came and boil water. That was pretty bad.
I think I could do that. I think you fill a pot and just turn on the thing, right? I think that's what you do. Like, I think I could pull that off. But then anything involving that, because you were like, the air fryer is so easy. Mark, I don't know how to turn it on. Where do you even put things into it? I have one. Where do you even put things into it? I know nothing. So when you say, well, this is real easy, I think you're overestimating what I can do.
To all the listeners out there, he's not joking. Like, we really had – I was leaving the practice. I was like, you know, let me sit back here and give my man some pointers. When you said frozen ground beef,
yeah.
That just really threw me off too.
So that's a story from the show, and I will tell it once again for those that don't know that I decided, you know what? I think I'll try to make something. It was a while ago. There was like the off season. I said, okay, I have some time tonight. Let me try to make something. So I wanted to have a taco salad. So I got lettuce, cheese, black olives, a little bit of salsa, even though I don't love it. I was like, I'll throw this in. And then I was like, oh, I need ground beef. So I went to the store and I asked where to buy the cooked ground beef.
Like, apparently, like already made, you mean?
Yeah, they don't sell that, apparently. You actually have to buy it and then cook it.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
So they laughed at me at the store, but I was like, so what am I supposed to do?
Go to Taco Bell or something?
Apparently. So Mark did not love this story, but I bought some ground beef, and I went home, and I turned on a YouTube video and just followed along with what they told me, and it did not turn out well.
Wait, you watched a YouTube video to make beef?
Yeah.
Like when people go on to like change brakes or something, they watch a YouTube video you did with beef?
Yeah.
Yeah, to cook the beef.
Wow. And it didn't work, huh?
The ground beef. No, I don't know if it was too short or too long, but it wasn't good. And then Mark said, well, you have to season it. I was like, what? What are we doing?
You also got to drain it a little bit too sometimes, you know. Drain,
yeah, I feel like I might have done that. But yeah, Mark, I think you have hope for me to try to teach me something, but I think it's a lost cause at this point.
I have hope, man. If Harry can do it, because he couldn't cook anything last year. He never cooked anything, period. But you, I have hope, man. I'm going to make it a plan to make sure by the end of this season, you're going to learn how to put something in the air fryer and cook it and be able to eat it and plate it.
Okay. I mean, that sounds ambitious. But I know you're an athlete. You have the work ethic, so you can help me pull this off. UNLV is working hard, too. They're getting ready for the season. They have high hopes, high expectations. I guess one question I have for you is, how hard is it for a team that – is expected to do something, right? They went into last year, nobody expected anything of them. They've gone into every season that way for like 20 years. Now all of a sudden everybody's like, oh, you're supposed to win. How hard is that?
I don't think it's hard at all, because they have a really good coaching staff. You know, Coach Odom's done a really good job. If you went out to practice, they've really upgraded in every position. You know, when I first started going out there, you know, it was almost like a junior college team. They were undersized. You know, they didn't really have a lot of team speed. There was no team chemistry. And I went out there this week. Man, the O-linemen are like two deep. You know, they have a really good depth at all positions. Quarterbacks are battling it out. You know, that's some really good receivers. Ricky White is up for a lot of awards, which I think he'll get drafted as well. So they have some really good pieces. They have some young running backs. They have some transfers that came in. So I think the transfer portal really helped out UNLV, so they'll be able to compete. And I'm thinking another bowl game season for these guys.
Oh, I think if they're not in a bowl game, it'll be very disappointing. That should be the expectation.
Yeah, they should win a bowl game. Well, they should at least make it to a bowl game. Hopefully, they can compete for the title again for the conference. Obviously, Boise State is still going to be loaded and ready to rock and roll. Fresno State has a new head coach, so we don't know how that's going to turn out, an interim coach. So. I was impressed with what I saw at UNLV, man. And like I said, with the go-go offense, you know, Marion has been doing this everywhere he's went, and every team he's been the coordinator from, they've been very successful. So the formations that they put these defensive backs in and linebackers is confusing for me, and I've played the game at a high level. So he's doing a really good job of moving guys around and creating mismatch.
You answered some of this already. I'm excited to watch the offense, too. DeJesus is one of the guys I really like. I think that they're going to be able to use him in a lot of different ways. On the defensive side of the ball, though, the back end, you mentioned a little bit, maybe an issue down the stretch last year. What have they done to shore that up this year?
They got some transfers in, you know, some big-time transfers in, guys that was at Texas. Some other guys, you know, that they plugged in. They got longer. They got more team speed on the back end. I know one of the things that they were trying to, you know, get off their back is the deep ball. And, you know, they've addressed that. They got some really good safeties that can play in the box. A young man came from Arkansas. He's been with Coach Odom, you know, for a while. So they're very familiar with that young man as well. So they addressed it with some older veteran guys that's not going to make those mistakes like they were doing in the past.
So Mark McMillan joins us here on the program, as he does each and every Friday, breaking down everything from football to food, all the important things in life. You're also out at the Raiders facility a little bit this week, and got a chance to catch up with you. But what did you see out there, especially from the guys that are competing for the quarterback spot?
When I went out to the practice, I didn't really see anybody separate themselves. You know, I wanted to be able to see for myself. This is my first time being out there, but I just didn't see anybody make that big leap to be like, okay, this is the guy. You know, we walked, obviously we saw the practice at the stadium the other night. I didn't really see anybody separate themselves to be like, okay, I am the guy. Somebody's going to take care of the, you know, take command of the huddle and take command of the offense. So I don't know who's going to be the starter. You know, obviously AP's got a tough decision to make. My gut feeling was Minshew, but you got to see what Aiden's going to do. You know, you put him out there to start the opening game. You know what you're going to get in Minshew. He's going to be he's more athletic. He can get around a little bit more, but I think Aiden can throw the ball a little better to the outside than Minshew. So it's going to be pretty interesting to see. You know, they play the Cowboys tomorrow night, so we'll see. Minshew's supposed to get the start and see how he fails out with the guys that's going to play, because AP said all the guys are going to play tomorrow. So that'll be interesting to see.
Well, you spent a lot of time in the NFL, especially with my favorite team, the Eagles. But I was wondering how you feel about these fights in practice. You know, apparently there was a scuffle in practice. A lot of people say it's a bad thing. Some people say it's a good thing. Do you feel like it's a good team-building thing to have some fights in practice?
I loved it. That was something I said the other day when I saw the scrimmage at Allegiant Stadium. I was like, these guys are, like, friendly. You know, there's nobody out here chirping. Obviously, Max is the only guy, and Wilkins are the only guy that's out there really chirping and really getting after it. So when I heard they had a fight, you know, in practice, I was like, about time somebody got pissed off and a little chippy. You know, you need those kind of fights. And I know a lot of people say, what is Max doing swinging? Max is going to be Max. You know, you're not going to be able to tame him. You want Max to be at full strength, full throttle all the time. You can't put a leash on him. So it's exciting to hear that these guys finally got after it. And hopefully we'll see some of that physicalness and toughness tomorrow against the Cowboys. You know, we need somebody to go smack somebody in the face.
I want to preface this question, Mark, by saying we have no idea what the actual situation is. So we don't know for sure. All we know is is the developments that we've seen, and I'll lay them out for you and the listeners. Tuesday night, Davante Adams says he would prefer not to play on Saturday. Wednesday night, Antonio Pierce says everybody that's healthy is playing. Thursday, Davante Adams doesn't practice. Which leads me to believe they're setting up Davante Adams not playing on Saturday and saying, hey, he's injured. Or minor injury, bumps and bruises, whatever. And again, we don't know, but there is a strange timeline of events there. Can a coach allow this to happen?
Devontae's earned that right. You know, he's earned that right. He's you know, he's one of the best receivers in the game. But if the coach says everybody's got to suit up, you know, everybody's got to suit up. You know, I can't see, you know, back when we were playing in Philly, coach saying, hey, you know, everybody's going to play except Reggie White. There's no way we were letting that happen. You know, Big Doggy would have stepped up and be like, if my guys are out here going to war, I'm going to be out here with my guys. And as a teammate, you want to see that. And, you know, you don't want to think anybody is more bigger than the team. If he's got to go out there and just run a hitch route or out route, still be out there with your guys. Just show everybody, like, man, I'm here. I'm with it. I'm not going to sit over here and eat on this popcorn for 2 or 3 hours. But just go out there and, you know, just give it effort. Nobody said you got to go over across the middle and catch a slant. But at least be in the huddle with those guys and, like, hey, man, in a couple more weeks, this is going to be live bullets.
Great insight. I know you've been there before. I have another locker room question. As it pertains to quarterback, as you mentioned, nobody separated themselves. The entire offseason, all that was said about from Pierce, from Telesco, from everybody was, it's an open competition for quarterback. They're going to decide it on the field. And to me, it's been decided on the field. Now, it hasn't been overwhelming. It hasn't been a blowout. But consistently, Gardner Minshew has been the better quarterback throughout training camp most days. He's been better. He has won the job. I don't think the Raiders want to name him the starter. I think they want Aiden O'Connell to win this job. Do players notice? Do players take note if you as coaches and organization say it's an open competition and the guy that has been better doesn't win? Is that something guys are disturbed by?
Oh, very much. I was talking to Eric Allen the other day in practice, and we were just talking about how we had Jimmy Smith, you know, the great receiver from the Jacksonville Jaguars, in camp with the Eagles, and they were like, hey, you know, we don't think we're going to keep Jimmy. And everybody's like, what do you mean? Like, he was having a great preseason game, running back kicks, punts, catching touchdowns. and they end up releasing him. And, you know, for a team, we're like, why'd you guys release this dude? And all he did was go on to probably have a Hall of Fame career there in Jacksonville. But, you know, it does play on guys' minds. And, you know, you want the coach to be able to make a decision, and you just got to live with it. But as an offensive guy, you know, I'm sure these guys want to know, like, who's going to be our guy? You know, who can we start getting prepared for? You just can't start preparing, you know, a week from now. You got to start preparing, like, now in the Cowboy game. You got to start getting that continuity with the guys and see who's going to be calling the signals, because it matters.
Talking to Chef Mark McMillan, also former NFL stud. Speaking of the Eagles and locker room stuff, I selfishly have to ask this because it keeps coming up, and they're just hammering it. The Sirianni supposed rift with Jalen Hurts. Just a general question, I guess. Does that even matter? I mean, if you go into the season and you guys don't necessarily like each other, you know, 100%, you can still have a great season, right? Does it matter?
No, it doesn't matter. Like, it's you know, when I got drafted by the Eagles with Rich Kotite, I may have said two words to Rich Kotite all season. You know, he stayed over there with the offense. We were over there with Bud Carson. So, you know, there was always a little rift between the head coach and the defensive guys, you know, but it didn't seem to, you know, it didn't bother us. You know, we're going out there to try to take people's heads off and try to intimidate them as much as we can and give the ball back to Randall so he can do his thing. So, you know, I don't read into it. Obviously, you know, the preseason is pretty much winding down for those guys. You know, Jalen didn't get any run. I thought McKee did really good. I had an opportunity to see him and coach him in a couple of camps from Centennial High School in California. That's my guy, McKee. So it'll be pretty interesting to see, you know, how it plays out. But I don't read into that, man. Jalen's professional. Sirianni's a professional. And everybody knows if things start going south, the media in Philly is going to let him have it.
Absolutely. Well, we're not going to let you have it. We always enjoy hearing what you have to say. Mark, you always have a million things going on, food, football, media. Tell everybody where they can check out and what do you got for us?
Man, I'm trying to work on some tailgate things, man, with CBS. I'll do the Raiders pre- and post-game show. We're excited about that. They invited me back. Can you believe that? They invited me back to do the pre-game show with the Raiders. So I'm excited about that. You know, I'm being Lot J pretty much all year, grubbing on some tacos. So you got to stop by, man, and have some tacos, have some burritos with my boy. Maybe we can throw you on the grill. You can make a taco, man. Maybe we can do that.
Nobody wants that. I will stop by. I'll check it out for sure. And everybody check out everything Mark's up to. It's always exciting. It's always fun. Great stuff as always. We appreciate it, sir. Enjoy your weekend.
All right, appreciate it, man. I'll see you guys out there tomorrow.
Yep, see you out there. Good stuff from Mark McMillan as always. We'll come back. Is this the worst rule idea you've ever heard? We continue. Cofield & Company.
Hanging at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island, it's Cofield & Company.
It is Cofield & Company here at the Golden Circle at the TI. I am hopeless. We're talking about it again during the break. I got no shot, but maybe we'll try to learn something at some point on how to cook. What we are learning is that MLB keeps trying, but maybe they've gone too far this time. You sent over a story of a potential rule change that Major League Baseball is considering implementing. Now, the issue with this rule is that it would probably take about 3 years from inception. If you made the rule, you'd probably have to give teams about 2 or 3 years to say, let's adjust to this. I will also say, I have a friend who is he says he's not really a sports fan anymore. He still is. But he was one of these guys that was a big sports fan growing up until he was about 30 and then said, sports suck now, I'm out. In pretty much every issue that he's had, like he will give you like an hour on every issue he has in sports.
Right.
And most of them have been addressed.
Right.
So like for a long time he said the extra point is stupid. It's 100% of the time they make it. Why do they still do this? It's a meaningless play. I don't even have to watch. Well, now they fixed it. It's a little bit more challenging.
Yeah.
Now you do have to watch it.
They miss quite a bit, and actually, considering.
They miss
a
lot.
Yeah.
So that's fixed. So now what? Well, now it's – and now his – for a long time, his biggest complaint has been, you know, when I follow baseball, I don't like starting pitchers coming out of the game. I'm there to see a starter. I look in the newspaper, and I see who the starting pitcher – by the way, this guy sounds like he's 80.
Right.
He's like 38. I want to know who the starting pitcher is, and I showed up to see him. I show up to see the guy that I, you know, see in the box score as a starter. Nobody does that. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's what he says. So that would be what they're trying to address here with this potential new rule. I'm telling you, it's not going to matter to people like him. They're still going to find something to complain about. But this is a proposal that a starting pitcher, a listed starting pitcher who throws the first pitch, would have to go at least six innings, except for some certain circumstances. But you immediately, I think, hated this.
It's the stupid. I had to read it like four times to make sure I was reading it correctly because it's so stupid. I don't even – like, what if a guy goes in the first inning, doesn't have it that day? You got to keep the guy in there for another five innings? I mean
– So the part of the proposal would be that if you throw 100 pitches, you can come out.
I saw that, yeah.
If you give up more than four earned runs, you can come out. So I guess if you're
– Oh, I see. I didn't
if
see
you're
that
getting, like, if you're getting knocked around in the first inning and you have, like, yeah. seven runs, you can come out. What they're trying to limit – and I guess to some degree, okay, they don't like a pitcher that's through five with a no-hitter. Now you're going to the bullpen. And fans are like, oh, I wanted to potentially see a no-hitter. Or he's through five innings, he's got eight strikeouts. You're like, hey, this guy's got a great game going. And the team's like, yeah, we're going to save him, shut him down, save his arm.
Yeah.
We don't want to throw all these pitches. That's what they're trying to eliminate. They're trying to eliminate teams strategically taking guys out early who are actually pitching very well. I understand the concept, but sorry, it's your decision how long these guys
yeah.
pitch.
What if the guy's pitching on a few days rest? They can have a stipulation for that too, or you know, it's silly.
You wouldn't be able to do that anymore. I think that's why part of the proposal is, hey, you would have to pass it and then start it like two or three years from now, because you have to build up guys. You have to say, hey, this guy that we're building up to be a five inning guy now has to be at least six, seven, eight inning guy.
Right.
You want to do some of those things, but this would be if you started. Unless you got shelled or threw a lot of pitches, you'd have to come out or you'd have to stay in at least six innings. I don't think this works. I don't love it for a lot of different reasons. Again, I get the theory. I just don't think it works. I think it is up to your discretion how long you keep a guy in for, especially in that situation. Like, it's, you know, guys like Paul Skeens this year who had the no-hitter going and like, get out of here. Get out of the game. We're shutting you down to save your arm. You wouldn't be able to do that anymore. Although all you would do is say, he's hurt.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's just so silly because – and you started off right because they're totally capitulating to the fan,
yeah.
the annoying fan.
Of course.
That has a problem with literally everything. These guys don't play enough anymore. My day, this and that is garbage. The average pitcher, when Radar Guns first came out, was throwing 87 miles an hour.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of these guys now are hitting triple digits yeah. as soon as they come on. It's not the same.
No.
And I think it's ridiculous. If you have a young pitcher who you don't want to have an inning count, I mean, is there going to be an age thing on this too? Right, what if you're over a certain age? Like, I mean,
if you're over 36, you can only throw four.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing's crazy to me. I think it's ridiculous. Leave it alone. There are things I would change about baseball. This is not one of them.
There you go. Was going to get into how this kind of relates to the kickoff rule as well, but we'll save that as we continue later on in the show. Up next, though, our good friend Vince Sapienza from Fox 5. He is now trying to be a radio guy. We'll get into that. He's actually doing pretty well. Vince Sapienza joins us next.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island.
It is Cofield and Company, Hill and His Homies edition here. Adam Hill, Greg Salerno down here at the Golden Circle. So the Homies edition, we just had Mark McMillan. Let's have another one on. Vince Sapienza, a good friend from over at Channel 5. And another guy who just thinks this radio thing is so easy. Vince, how you doing, sir?
Adam, well, I've heard you for so long at this point. I'm like, why can't I just throw my hat in the ring? Give it a whirl.
Yeah. How has it been so far? And tell everybody what you're doing.
Yeah, those are some early mornings over at the morning tailgate on Raider Nation Radio 920. Man, those 5:30 wake-up calls get to the facility at 6:30, 7 to 10. No, it's been a good time with Vinny Bonsignore and Clay Baker. Talking a little silver and black. And, you know, I feel like it came at just the right time as, you know, the off season. You guys are just trying to find stuff to talk about with the Raiders. Now that the training camp is just about done, the storylines are plenty, I felt, it was just the right time to nestle in and get going. And, man, everybody wants to talk about the quarterbacks. I wonder why.
Huh. What's the biggest difference between radio and television so far besides the fact that all the dudes are uglier and fatter? And
Well, in radio, nobody's wrapping me up saying stop talking. I get in trouble all the time on TV saying, you know, we got a 2-minute clip. You spoke for 5 minutes. Here, there's so much freedom. nice. People talk back at you. They're nice. Nobody's yelling in my ear most of the time. Yeah, it's been fun to get in the mix.
There you go. And we're all paying attention to what you're doing over there, checking it out. So everybody, I hope, checks it out. And we'll get into the Raiders to hear some of what you might hear over on the station. I'm going to lay this out to you and tell me – I did this to Mark McMillan. I'm going to present this sequence of events to you with no commentary for myself whatsoever, okay? Tell me what you think. Davante Adams says he doesn't want to play Saturday. Next day, Antonio Pierce. Everybody who's healthy is playing. Next day, Davante Adams doesn't practice. That's it. That's what happened.
Great. I mean, well, this is exactly what I heard as Antonio Pierce said. Anybody who's healthy is playing. I immediately could just sense Devontae's, you know, bat signal just going off. Being like, ooh, that hammy just tightened up all of a sudden. Weird how my right big toe just was not feeling it when I woke up the next day. Coincidences are wild. The planets just kind of lined up for that one. I don't think we're going to be seeing 17 tonight at Allegiant Stadium in Pats.
I don't think so either. But I guess the question is, I agree with you that's what happened. Again, we're speculating. All we can do is say what happened. Quote, action. That's it. That's all we know. We're speculating, that there's a very, very, very minor injury that he's going to be fine from, but he's just not going to play on Saturday. What message does that send to the rest of the team?
First of all, is anybody 100%? Is anybody 100% healthy at this point in training camp?
By the way, if you haven't been practicing because you've been home having a child, you're probably much healthier than everybody else.
Adam, I have two little ones at home. When a baby comes home, you know, a lot of people are sending gifts. There's a lot of new toys that aren't in different spots. He might have stubbed a toe on a present, on a box, on a baby rattler. We don't know. We don't have all the information. What we do know is how direct Devontae and AP have been this week. Devontae made it very clear, not once, not twice, but multiple times in that answer, he does not want to play in the preseason. And if he had his brothers, he will not play in the preseason. And AP, obviously, you know, holding his team to a certain status, saying if you're healthy, you're playing, stuck to his gun. I think both can be true in this case, and I think we're going to see tomorrow night both will be true. Now, how injured is Davante Adams? The answer is we'll never truly know.
We will, because he's going to practice Monday or Tuesday, whenever they're back. We will know.
He's going to feel good Sunday morning, I'll tell you that. I'm going to feel real good.
Talking to fellow Paisan, Vince Sapienza. He's our newest member of the Morning Tailgate on Raider Nation 920 AM. Raider Nation Radio 920 AM. I always say it wrong, sorry. Anywho, the offense obviously talked about a lot for the Raiders because of the quarterback, controversy, whatever, battle. What are you looking for in the defense tomorrow night? I don't know how many starters Dallas is going to play. But if the Cowboys come out and play their starters, what are you looking for from the defense from the Raiders?
Yeah, you know, I'm not really too worried about looking at the defense other than just making sure that they corrected whatever they needed to correct in their run fits and their run defense from preseason game number one. At halftime, after what looked like a pretty solid first half of football, AP came off the field and was absolutely beside himself with the run defense and the gaps and the run fits. So, obviously, that was a clear message. You know, it's funny. It was a clear message going into the offseason. The Raiders needed to get better, stopping the run. So, it's a little bothersome to see in that first preseason game, probably the biggest issue on that defense, you know, in two quarters was their run fits. But, the difference between good teams, great teams, elite teams is how quickly they're able to fix their mistakes. So, we'll see if a pattern is emerging with that run defense or if that was just a couple lapses in preseason game one. So that's what I'll be looking for. But more specifically, I'm looking at the secondary, especially the reserves, the draft picks, MJ, DKM. You know, they look like rookies in game one of the preseason. They got caught looking in the backfield a little too long. They got burned a few times. I'm curious to see if that was, again, you know, first preseason game, live bullets flying, or if, you know, just going to have to be patient watching the secondary, and if Tom Telesco and his scouting team are going to have to go out and, you know, scour the waiver wire and see if there's some veteran DBs that need to come in behind, you know, a Jack Jones, Nate Hobbs, Ja'Quarian Bennett, just to kind of shore up the depth a little bit. So I'm curious to see how those young guys perform when they get their names and numbers called tomorrow night.
I'm sure you followed the Olympics some. I know it wasn't on Fox, but I'm sure you checked out some of the Olympics, right?
Some other station, I believe, yeah.
Yeah,
it was somewhere. A station we can't name.
Sure, it was somewhere.
Yeah, of course.
I asked that question because I feel like somebody should have been in the discus throw that wasn't. Max Crosby really can throw a helmet.
Man, he had good form, didn't he? he had real good form. I'll be honest, that practice last night, it was starting to put me to sleep a little bit. You know, just, again, another practice, another run-through, and then all of a sudden, Will Putnam getting center stage. You know, I was joking. I feel like his jersey sales just went through the roof last night after all those tweets went out. Will Putnam just, you know, trying to make a case, and just a day after AP was singing his praise, so making sure he's at the top of everybody's mind. But, you know, it's interesting, right? Obviously, I was not in Costa Mesa reporting from afar through my colleague, Kevin Mollinger, but the first true real fisticuffs, you know, a little melee, a little skirmish that we saw, and it's almost shocking that it took so long to get one of those, right? I guess not shocking that the defense was involved, considering just how much the defense has pushed the offense around, whether it's the first, second, or third string. So, again, boiling point's going to happen. If anything, it points to that this group is kind of ready. You know, every team kind of has a blow-up within themselves or whatever during training camp or during this preseason. Like, okay, time to go. And it feels like we've hit that point for the Raiders. So it'll be interesting to see how AP kind of handles the schedule kind of the rest of the way out. Obviously, we're not going to see starters or anybody meaningful play in preseason game number 3. But now it's kind of where you see the page turn as things ratchet up after tomorrow night for week 1 in L.A.
If Max tried to rip your helmet off, would you just let him?
Yeah. Have you seen the guy? I was telling you this week, Adam, I'm working on a story about Max and his love for combat sports and boxing and fighting. And I was talking to one of the most renowned MMA coaches, John Wood, as you know. And he believes Max could wreck shop in the heavyweight division as soon as now if he wanted to step away from football, step in the cage. I talked to one of his boxing buddies that he spars with in the off season, and he told me, give him a 10-week camp, and he is fighting at a professional level. So, yeah, dude wants to take my helmet off. I'm not pushing back on that one.
Well, I think you're the only TV guy in town that doesn't box, so maybe that'll happen at some point. That'll happen at some point soon. You can step in there with Max. Tell everybody again where they can hear you and see you. You're all over the place now.
Yep, so you catch us on Fox 5, obviously official broadcast home for the Raiders. We got a Raiders pregame live show tomorrow. A special airtime at 3:30 because we got primetime baseball airing before Raiders-Cowboys preseason game number 2 on Fox 5, so you can catch me pretty much every hour of the day on Fox 5 talking about some story, Raiders, Golden Knights, or UFC alike. And then, again, as we were talking about earlier, the newest addition to the morning tailgate, Raider Nation Radio, AM 920, Monday through Friday, 7 to 10 a.m. Catch me if you like hearing this voice. And if you don't, tune in anyways because I need it.
There you go. Thank you, sir.
Appreciate you guys.